Welcome to the podcast, the head coach at LaSalle, Mountain McGillivray. Coach, we love having you on here because you always come with a big smile and you always got something fun to talk about.
Thanks, Debbie. Glad to be here.
So let's start with your team a little bit. I've been following the play of Ashley Connor, who came to Media Day, who has quite the personality. I know you have a lot of faith and confidence in her. Tell us about how she's led your team this year.
Yeah, you know, Ashley's done a great job. She's, been a leader since day one, since she got here. She was a big part of keeping this team connected and united last year through some, difficult times. And, she led us in rebounding and scoring and assists last year. So, pretty much everything you can expect. And she's carried that over this year. She's been way more efficient than she was last year. She's got our team playing at a much higher level. And, it starts with her, ability to command the ball and run the team and get people in the right spots. And she, being a scoring threat herself, makes it much easier for everybody else.
What are some of the qualities you really value in a strong point guard?
Well, first off, thinking the game. So, one of the things that I love about Ashley is that, we spend some time and we come up with our game plan, but like she's not afraid to challenge, some ideas that the coach has put forward because, she sees a way differently that might benefit her and her teammates. And, the best teams that I've been a part of had kids who were thinking the game right along with the coaches and were willing to speak up when they maybe saw a better way. And sometimes we revamp things and sometimes we convince her that the way we're going to do it is right. But like that little bit of input coming from the players is crucial to a team being the best it can be.
I call that the three W's of a good point guard: who to get the ball to, when, and where. So I'm guessing it's not just offensive options. It's probably some defensive schemes as well. Ball screen coverage, maybe man versus zone. I mean, that's an important relationship that you have to have with her to be able to go back and forth like that, right?
Yeah, it's crucial. It's crucial. And, she knows that we know that she's invested in winning and that she's got a lot of room to be able to speak up because of that. She's just not playing for Ashley.
You got another player.
Sorry.
Yeah, you've got another player on your team that's a world-class track and field athlete. Tell us about Mac Toon and what she brings to the floor. Her skill set.
Eris is really special. She is a gifted athlete. I don't know how world-class in track and field. I don't think she had any reps this past year. But if she would have decided to do track and basketball, she would be world-class. She is another great leader. She is relentless in her, pursuit of getting better. She came in, with her skill set being at a certain point, and she's just raised it up. She gets in the gym and she puts in the work day after day. She presents a lot of matchup problems because while she's not, 6 foot, she jumps so high, she plays really big. And so you can't switch smaller players onto her, but she's so fast, you can't put bigger players on her. So, she's really a joy to coach because of what she allows us to do as coaches and the way we can utilize her and move her around.
All right, so you've won 4 of your last 6, 2 in a row. You've played well lately. This is the right time to be playing well. Your league is loaded. The A-10 is a very strong, very well-put-together league with great coaches. What have you seen this year about the league, Mountain, that gives you encouragement that there's going to be at-large teams admitted to the NCAA tournament besides the automatic qualifier?
I say it, all the time. In the years when we've only had one bid, people talk about, your resume or your schedule and this and that. But, you looked at the teams and, the teams that didn't make it weren't really tournament teams. It didn't matter what their resume said. They weren't really tournament teams. You look at the top of our conference right now and you look at Rhode Island and you look at Richmond, you look at George Mason, those are tournament teams. So I'm hoping the committee sees that, depending on how things shake out. But those are NCAA tournament teams. They're the teams that go in there, win games, make some noise. And so that's the hope that we get 2 or 3 in this year, because we have some real quality teams at the top of the conference. And what I'm excited about this year in our conference is that I feel like more so this year than in the past, a big chunk of the rest of the conference is in striking distance with those teams. Whereas, you know, last year we played, you know, tonight we play Rhode Island and we're hoping to go out there and try to pull off an upset. You know, last year we played the number one team in the conference. We were just hoping to survive.
Coach, I know the league is solid. I mean, I've been following along all year, so there's some really good teams, including yours. Tell us a little bit about your style of play and, you know, what's been working for you on this winning streak that you're on right now.
You know, we've been having most of our success still offensively in transition, just finding open players, creating opportunities, creating advantages on the break. You know, and as a coach, it's, you know, you're giving them the freedom to go and make plays, and you got to live with some of the plays. You know, some people watch us and, you know, see some bad shots here and there, like, oh, he's not even coaching them, just letting them do whatever they want. But the reality is, you know, when we execute our half court stuff really well, they're still tougher shots than the ones you do get when you're wide open and you create the offense in transition because the other team's got shorter numbers or because they're in rotation early. So it's still been the best thing for us. But really, our half court efficiency has been growing as of lately, getting better and better, which is what you expect as you get later into the season. We are, you know, trying to polish up our weaknesses and trying to get better on the boards, more discipline, not getting into foul trouble, you know, finishing off free throws. So just getting better at those things. And all year, the defense has been something that's been there for us and been consistent. So we can continue to follow scout plans and take things away and force turnovers. We've won the turnover battle almost every night out, and we got to keep that going. We still don't love the amount we turn it over, but as long as we turn it over less than the other team, that gives us an advantage.
So, tell me about how River is doing and what you have enjoyed about mentoring her, her new role for her as a former player at NC State, now on your staff.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, great having her join us. She is you know, part of three brand new staff members here, along with Siani Sanchez Oliver and Tiffany Cole, a veteran who I got a chance to coach in high school, and you know, she was recently a head coach. So three new people on staff. It's been great blending them together. River is really connected with Tiffany, who was a post player herself. And River's done a great job of helping me behind the scenes with breaking down the film and, you know, just making sure that we're identifying what we think we're seeing when we're watching it live, you know, really getting into the data points after the game. And then she's been great with the post players, just helping mentor them and trying to raise our level here at LaSalle to kind of match what she experienced at Florida State and NC State.
She's a great, wonderful person. I know she'll be a really successful coach as she gets mentored by you along the way. I need to ask you about how your journalism degree from Temple plays into your coaching and your decisions and your vision. And what does your scouting report look like? Is it verbose and full of flowery language, or are you just cut right to the point?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you, my journalism degree has translated to my success as a basketball coach because I went to Temple University and had enough willpower to get up at 5 a.m. and ride my bike into North Philly and watch John Chaney practice. So That's really what my journalism degree got me. It got me in the right place at the right time to watch a coaching legend in action every day, and then get to meet Dean Demopoulos, who was his assistant, who, you know, was able to, you know, kind of explain to me some of the things that I was seeing. So that's really where the journalism degrees helped.
Okay, so you just opened up a whole new part of what I love to call humanizing the coaches, not just strategizing with them. Tell us about the bike rides in the morning, how cold it was, like it was the coldest, and what were you wearing, and did you carry everything for school? Like, tell us about it.
Well, if we're going to be honest, the everything for school wasn't much because I wasn't as focused of a student as I could be. So that was just maybe some pens and paper in my backpack. That was about it. But Yeah, it was, you know, it, once I got into the rhythm of it, you bundle it up, and it was about, 35 minutes, riding nice and hard in the morning. And, I recall one of my favorite moments. I was there, pretty regularly. And the one day I was there, I'm sitting in the stands, and a security card comes up. It's like, gym's closed. You got to go. And Chaney stopped and looked up, like, he's okay. Now, I didn't know him. Like, we didn't have a relationship yet. We had never talked. But he had gotten to see me up there taking notes every morning, and he wasn't going to let the security guard kick me out. So I enjoyed that.
Wow. Do you still have your notes from Coach Chaney? Like, what did you learn at 5 o'clock in the morning watching his practices?
I learned not to throw the ball away. I remember one time he stopped the group and he's yelling at him because the guy he was dribbling with his head down. He wasn't seeing the floor, but he got trapped and he stops and he just starts talking. And this was classic Chaney. He would talk for 20 minutes in the middle of practice. Like, they would just stand there and listen to him rant. And he says, you got to see. You gotta be able to see right now. I can't see my car and they're stealing my hubcaps. So he really impressed upon them the value of never putting yourself in a position where the ball's in jeopardy. And I've kind of blended that with, another, coaching hero of mine, Paul Westhead, who plays the exact opposite style of the way Chaney played. Chaney on offense literally walked it up, ran the shot clock down, and took a tough shot at the end, and Westhead ran and gunned. But both of them believe that you could limit your turnovers by, one, Chaney by playing slow, and the other, Westhead, by shooting the ball before you turn it over.
Yeah. Wow. That's some pretty good legends right there to learn from.
Yeah.
Well, Coach Chaney is such an incredible mentor for so many people. It's just amazing to hear your story about every morning riding your bike to school. That is, not many people do that today, Mountain. I can't think of many young coaches that would consider doing something that you've done. Don't you feel like it's paid off? Like, I mean,
No doubt. Just that, as with anything, when you put in extra effort, the confidence that comes with knowing you prepared yourself.
Speaking of extra effort, 8 kids. Tell us about your family, because this is the most fascinating. I don't know if anybody in college basketball that's a head coach has 8 children. Yeah. Give us the range. Give us how do you organize? Like, how in the world does this work?
Well, I have an amazing wife. So that's first off how it works. And my kids are really good. So Kiara, Mary, Bridget, Sean, Catherine, Joseph, Teresa, and Emily. It is a full house. One is out of college. One graduates this year. I have a freshman down at Belmont. I have a junior at home, and then 2 kids in middle school, and then 2 kids in at home being homeschooled. So my wife homeschooled most of them through 8th grade, and that allowed a lot of them to come on the road with me and travel and be a part of things, go recruiting, and they weren't tied to having to be in the classroom every day because they were able to get their work done in a much more efficient manner being homeschooled. And then, that allowed my wife to have breaks because I could take the kids with me and she could do stuff. Now, as we've gotten tied here in Philadelphia and the kids got older and they have sports and everything, there's no more of that because they can't go away because they got games, every day. And life's gotten crazy. But by that point, you have older kids who are driving and helping out. And,
yeah.
You just make it work.
Okay, so give us like a one-liner starting at the top of something they are doing or something about their personality.
What, for each kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Kiara, Kiara is now mixing, 2 things she loves. One, our faith. She's working for a group called Generation Life, spreading the pro-life and chastity messages all over the East Coast. And then she's a ball girl for the Philadelphia Phillies. So baseball was one of her loves, and her faith, she's getting to share that doing some missionary work. Mary is the manager of the baseball team down at Ave Maria. She's a 4.0 student who just put out her first CD. She likes to play some music and sing as well. She's a singer-songwriter. Bridget wants to be a coach. I like to say she wants to follow in her dad's footsteps. So she's the manager down at Belmont and really enjoying that experience, learning from a great coach down there and a great program. Catherine is in eighth grade and getting ready to go to high school. She's, played baseball growing up and now a little volleyball, but she's a theater kid. She loves being in the plays, and she was the star in a last year's show. And we got Joseph. He's our little three-sport athlete right now. Oh, did I skip my son, Sean? Sorry. My son, Sean. My son, Sean, like his dad, is convinced he's going to become a Major League Baseball player, as I was convinced at that time. He is putting in a lot more work than I ever did. He is homeschooled, but he takes college classes here at LaSalle and at Delaware County for credit for high school. And he's going to be playing baseball at Haverford this year at our local high school. So, and then Joseph, three-sport athlete. He's a great kid with a great smile and loving life, doing his thing. And then we have Teresa. Teresa's a little carbon copy of my oldest. She's just full of energy. And just wants to be involved and do everything. She is very expressive, showing her love. And then Emily is our little climber. Emily, as a lot of people know her story, has battled leukemia, and she's a year cancer-free after getting CAR T therapy treatment. And she's just a little gem.
Mountain, that is amazing. How much fun you must be having. Do you guys all get to sit around the dinner table at any point anymore?
We do. That's it's a plan for every night, and it doesn't always happen every night. But you know, I do a lot of cooking, and so I think it's good food. So they like to be there most of the time.
I would put that on my bucket list. I'd like to break bread with Mountain and the family.
I'd love that.
Sunday.
You have an open invitation. If you're in Philly, let's make a plan for dinner.
We will do that. You have been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for doing the podcast with us. We always love talking to coaches because we always learn something new. And we've learned a lot about you today and your family and your team. And you're such a great sport. Mountain McGilvery, the head coach at LaSalle. Coach, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Debbie, thank you. Thanks for help growing the game.